Bible class this morning. We're just continuing this reminder. We're looking at leadership in the church. We're kind of skimming over it a little bit. Some of the areas we're going to go into a little bit deeper. We're going to address some of the questions that have been brought up as well, so we're aware of those, especially with reference to appointing, how we go about to appoint, that kind of thing. We've looked at the authority by which we take the teaching of leaders in the church. We've looked at the roles that are specifically mentioned in the church. So we've looked at eldership, elders, we've looked at preachers, we're looking at deacons. We're going to have an idea of deacons, what a deacon is, who a deacon is, what a deacon is, that kind of thing. So the idea is it's the structure of the church. This congregation in Leicester, we are looking for structure. So we're looking for some order, we're looking for some leadership in reference to the biblical sense, because it's important, because God gave us the teaching, so we know it's what he wanted, you know, what is important. So that's what we're going to look at. So over time, we're going to cover a lot of areas. Even with deacon, one of the popular questions that comes up is, can a woman be a deacon? Can we have a deaconess? And then they refer to passages in scripture, the last Phoebe and people like that. We will cover that, I promise you. So we're going to go in detail so that we understand clearly what we mean when we talk about deacon and the purpose of it. Remember, eldership, shepherds of the flock, shepherds of the sheep. Eldership are men who qualify, who have the qualities with reference to the Bible, as the Bible lays it down, and they, their role is to shepherd the church, to be able to tend to the church, to be amongst the people in the field. Their job is to protect the spiritual well-being of the congregation. And we looked at ministers and preachers, and of course their responsibility to proclaim the gospel, to teach the gospel, to be able to share the message of salvation, and also to minister to the needs of the people. So that's a role. We're going to look at deacon, we're going to start the subject of deacon at this time. I'm going to be away for a few weeks travelling, and so Brother George will be filling in for 3 Sundays. He's going to do a series that he's got for you. It'll be wonderful. So let me encourage you for that, to come for that. And then when I return, we'll resume, and we should start to get to the end of the series, and then we can start winding it down. And then maybe we can open the floor up to a brother who may want to come and share some teaching, and we'll gladly do that. Or we can go into another topic that somebody might have that you want to study. The purpose of these courses that we're looking at, these lessons that we're looking at, is to try and structure the congregation. It's important. It's a role I have as a minister and evangelist. It's a responsibility I have as well. And we've seen examples of that where, you know, we've seen Titus and other things to go and set in place things that are lacking. And so it's all about structure. It's all about allowing God's church to be stable and secure and strong and structured and protected, allow his people to have the protection that they need. One of the blessings of this congregation, we have brethren here whose families have been in ministries. I know Brother Lucky and his family. His father was a wonderful preacher and teacher in Nigeria, and of course we're blessed to have his wife here now, and sadly he's moved on. And so these are people who have experienced the ministry firsthand. They've seen the work, they've seen what is involved in it, and so it helps in understanding the importance of that. I remember when the late Brother Felix was here and he taught the congregation, and we taught Revelation, and we looked at, you know, the importance of structure for the church, especially when we looked at the churches and saw the things that were lacking in the churches. Of course, we talked about the church that forgot their first love, and it shows you the importance of protecting the fold, protecting the flock. And so when you look at this, this is why it's so important. These lessons are very important to us. If there are things you don't understand, come and see me. I'll talk to you and other brothers as well. We'll happily talk with you. And hopefully we'll cover the things that we are trying to understand. So as I say, we've looked at the authority. Where does the authority come from? Do we just appoint anybody? No. We appoint roles in the church that are structured in the Bible, and we do it according to the teaching. That is how we base our work, our ministry. Everything about the Church of Christ is about the fundamentals of the teaching. So when we appoint elders, we appoint them according to Scripture. When we appoint deacons, we appoint them according to Scripture. If we have evangelists, the same thing. All these things are structured, labelled out in the Bible. Just a reminder, in the Bible you will have some things that are specific, remember that, and you'll have some things that are examples. If we don't have a specific instruction, we will have an example. And the example might be people living in a certain way, and so that is the example we can follow. If we have a specific instruction, then that is more clear. So we talk about elders, the elders must be a husband of one wife, so the elder must be a man, it's structured. Must have a wife, it's structured. Must be a father, so he's got children, it's structured. And if you remember, we also talk about other things, such as there are some things that are measured more like what you can visually see. So they're not so much structured. So for example, it'll be a person who shows love, and a person who's got some Bible knowledge, and a person who's got some experience. And so all of these things are things that help us to understand. And so we come on to deacons. And remember, we're skimming the icing. But the point is this. What we're looking at is sufficient, should be sufficient for what we need. Sometimes we overcomplicate the Bible. We make everything beyond reach. It's too difficult. We'll never have elders because our expectation is too high. We expect too much. We expect these men to be men who are structured in such a way that you think, how could anybody ever reach that level and reach them degrees of what we think is the structure? But of course, Christian life is development. A preacher is a work in progress. An elder, even an elder, will make mistakes. Elders are not perfect. They'll make errors and mistakes. But the difference is they put them right, they rectify them, they acknowledge them. They hold their hands up and that kind of thing. And so we're coming on to deacons. And as I say, you may have questions about deacons. We will cover them over the series. And as I say, there's people who've got questions like, is there such a thing as a deaconess? Can a woman be a deacon? All these kind of things will be going through your minds, maybe. We will answer them, but we won't cover everything today. And so with time, I assure you we will. And we'll be able to move on from there. So deacons. Let's look at the name first. Deacon. Deacon comes from a word called diakonos. Diakonos. Okay, that's the word that was used. And I'll tell you a bit about that, that word, because the word is something that developed. It was something, you find some words in the Bible and they develop with time. They almost got one meaning that they had at one time might have a different meaning in another generation. So it may have slightly different meaning. So if I was to say to you, diakonos means servant, you would probably think servant how you imagine servant in your head. You might think of a slave, or you might think of somebody who was mistreated, or you might think of somebody who's probably lower down the ladder, or things like that. And so it's a play on, not a play on words, but it's trying to understand more about the word diakonos and what it actually means with reference to servant. In the Bible, you'll find various forms of servant. There are various forms of servant that existed in different ways. We could look at one example. Let's have a look here where diakonos was used by Jesus. Let's look in Matthew, just as an example, let's look in Matthew 10, verse 24, just that one verse.
A disciple is not above his teacher, not the servant above his master.
Okay, so just one example used by Jesus from this word. Okay, we see in the passage there this example of what was used. The servant was defined as a bond slave. Diakonos is used about 30 times in the Bible, and referring to servant. And the word emphasizes the work, not specifically the title. In some cases, you come across words where it refers to the actual position or role. And so in this case, the word diakonos refers to the role that is taking place, the position. So he kind of developed with it. So, for example, there are some roles in the Bible that you see being done, and then people give it an identity, or they describe that work by using a word like diakonos to do that. So, but the word here in the passage emphasizes the work as a servant, or what a servant does, not the status of a slave or anything with reference to that. So let me just move on with this bit. I just want to go over it. Okay. So a servant could be defined as a bond slave. A bond slave, simply a property owned by a master. As I say, you look at that and think, oh wow. Yeah, that's quite harsh. You know, when we think of servants and slaves in the Old Testament, we think of them in a different, they're in a different light to what we're familiar with. You may owe somebody a debt, and you may say to them, can we make an arrangement? Can I come and serve in your home? And while I serve in your home, if you could give me a roof over my head and feed me, and over a period of time, that would pay off my debt. And so that wasn't a bad thing. You know, in effect, sometimes it worked good. And so the servant was defined in that way. And certainly with reference to Matthew 10:24, he talks about a bond slave, simply the property owned by a master. So the term that Jesus used here, when we look at this example here, where he says the disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant, a slave, he's talking about a bond slave, somebody who is owned by a property. Many examples in Scripture refer to slave. Jesus also refers to slaves who serve in homes. You know, sometimes a mutual agreement, as we said, to kind of pay a debt or that kind of thing. And so they would commit to serving that one householder. And so we see another example, just as a couple of examples. That we're going to use here, if we read Matthew 6, verse 24. Sorry.
No servant can serve two masters, but neither one who hates the one and loves the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Okay, so this was used by Jesus as a kind of a description or an example of a lesson, an important lesson. Well, notice that the term he uses in there, he uses the reference as a servant in there. For this illustration, he's referring to a servant in a household, somebody who serves in a household, somebody's household. And it was utilized to get an important teaching across so that they would understand the teaching. If you serve in one house, you can't serve in another house. I can't go and get a job down at a grocery store all week and at the same time go and get a job in a bakery, baking bread. You can't serve the two. And so it's uniquely surrounded by one task or one role. And in reference to this, that's the example that Jesus uses. If you're serving as a servant in one household, you can't serve another. And you can't be the same in another. So it's logical. It makes good sense. It makes a good example. And it's also in the context of serving God in this illustration, well, it's also useful there. You will also find in Scripture something else. So as I say, remember I said that the word diakonos, it kind of fits around the role itself as opposed to the specific title. Though we identify deacon because when we think of deacon, it's the role that we're looking at, the responsibility, the task that is there, that is in place. But you will also find in Scripture, as I say, when you think of servant, you think of slave, you always think of something back. In the Scripture, you will also find officials who had been servants for kings. And authorities of some kind. So we're talking here about slaves with great responsibility. We're talking about servants with great responsibility. These responsibilities they had were important roles that they played. So slavery today is deemed as cruel and evil. And if we look at the definition today of slavery that goes on, of course, you will say, yes, it's wrong. You know, and certainly we can think back to times in the past where slavery was used in an abusive way. But we're not looking at that. We're talking about something slightly different here with reference to the term of deacon. Now, these illustrations, the word deacon or the role of deacon is not into the same categories as these, which just some examples to help us understand. So none of these definitions are specifically related to what we're talking about. The deacon is a different kind of servant. You think to yourself, what are we talking about when we talk about deacon? Deacon is referred to as a waiter or attendant, something like that. If I go to a restaurant and I sit down and somebody serves me the food, it's like a diakonos, they serve the food. Again, you know, someone who's an attendant, somebody who's dealing with some form of service in that respect. So this was to describe the task of a deacon. So when you think of a deacon in the church, think of a server. In that way, somebody who delivers something, somebody who brings something in that way. It is a practical support, diakonos, a practical support. Very important. And as we go through, as I say, we're going to cover a lot of areas. It will take more than one class to do this. And we are going to look into questions, as I said, because there's people here who say, what about deaconesses? About Phoebe in the Bible, and those kind of questions playing again. So we're going to go through that. We'll look at it and make sure that we cover it over the time so that we can answer all these questions and hopefully everybody will have a clear understanding. So it's a practical support to diakonos, and that was to describe the task of a deacon. The deacon is one who serves, a server in the church. So we'll look at some examples. And I want to use one example in a few seconds with reference to quite a popular one. And I think probably when you look at the Bible and study, it's probably one of the first times that we see this role being sort of commissioned or brought into activity. You know, we're going to look in Acts chapter 6 shortly. Acts chapter 6 talks about men who were chosen to serve food to the widows. It was dealing with a problem, an issue that was going on at the time amongst the church. And so we see that. And so the word for the work of serving the food was diakonos. So when we look at this passage, we'll look at a time when men were called upon this diakonos, this ministry, this form of working, this waitering, this serving. And so we'll look at the passage in a few minutes just to look at that. In reference, so we haven't got the slide, it's Romans 16 verse 1. I commended you to Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church. And this is something that we're going to look at some point just to get a better understanding. But Phoebe in the passage is referred to as in a similar way. Why? Because she brings a message. And she's delivering. And remember, we're referring to the many meanings of the word deacon. So we're not specifically looking as if she was a deacon. And so we're going to explain that in more detail when we get to that part of our series. But just in case you've got that on your mind, we will definitely address that. Okay. So, the word diakonos, then, servant, deacon, is used to describe the servant. It's used to describe an attendant. It's used to describe a messenger. And the word is used in a ministry within the church. And so within the ministry, that word developed, it evolved with the role to help give the description of the task. It was a common word used of that time and was used to identify a role. And to this day, we understand deacon as diakonos. And so it's referred to and used in that way as we look at this role. So before Christianity, the word referred to a particular type of servant or service. It could have been used for serving food, for running errands, for an old variety of things, but it was used in that way. The New Testament writers began to refer to this word. And so again, remember we're saying they use it as the description of the role that was taking place. And so it was quite unique. And with reference to a brother in the church who did a particular word, it was used to the role of a deacon, diakonos, in that specific way. Okay. So, scripture then on this position. We have three places in the New Testament where deacons are referred to. These are used to, as we say, understand the person, understand the role. Also the role qualifications, there are some qualities, again, that are referred to. Again, there are some things that we use examples of, so we can look at the what was in practice and use that in that way, and various others where we can look at more specific key things. So let's take a look, just to kind of get our heads around it. Okay, so we're going to go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 1.
Now, in those days, when the numbers of the disciples were multiplying, they arose for confidence against the Hebrews by the enemies, because their widows were neglected in the village. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, see how from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And they say, "Please the whole multitude," and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timothy, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them.
Okay, thank you, brother. And we will look at, over the study time, we'll look at a variety of passages with reference to that. Now, I want you to notice something, first of all. We're talking about structure in the church. We're talking about having some structure. We're talking about organizing. And when you look at this passage, the first thing that always jumps out to me every time I look at this is division. There's a form of division. Look. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Okay, two parties. Bit of a division going on here. Bit of a problem going on here. Something is evolving within the church. Notice in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, and things were beginning to change. This is probably the first, well, this is the first record where we see this role evolving. Now, the term deacon in this passage is not used. You don't really see the word deacon in there. But the description of the work is used. And so though it doesn't specifically refer to deacon, it refers to the description of the role, which is the same thing, because in effect it's describing the word, or the word describes the description. So here we see this evolving of this, this commissioning of this important task within the church. And so by the description of the word, we see that this was used, the work that eventually the name deacon was placed upon. And so it was, the role came into being, and then eventually people identified the role by the using of the word diaconos. And so that was quite, you know, it's quite unique and interesting when you look at that. The church was serving food to the poor and serving those in need. That was the context of what is going on here. The church grew, and with the growing there came the benevolence, there became the work. As the church grows, the work comes, doesn't it? You know, as the church begins to grow, the tasks begin to get bigger. There's more things happening, more things going on. And so amongst everything that was going on here, a debate is taking place. There's a bit of a conflict, probably a bit of murmuring to start with, a bit of a complaint was going on that some people had been neglected. And accusations were being made, almost of favouritism within the groups. And so it was a divide. There was something going on there. It's almost as if they're saying the Jews are looking after the Jews first, and what about everybody else, you know? And it seems a bit of an imbalance. And so this complaint arises because of all of this. Two groups in a debate signifying a division building up. And that in itself, for me, every time I look at that, whenever I study this, or whenever I read this, or I come across it, it always reminds me of how important structure is. It makes you realise the importance of why the Lord sees the need within his church to have this kind of structure in place. Because if you don't have structure in place, you can find yourself having division in place, or things can come in and sort of take that on. And so the apostles resolved the matter with wisdom. With wisdom. They called for diaconos. They called for diaconos. They called for servants. They called for people to take on this role. They called for serving. They then said that this was not their calling. This was not their calling. We'll go into this later in the study. But their calling was to teach and preach. So there's definitely a division going on. There's something that's not organised. And so they call for diaconos. They're calling for some organisation. We'll say, listen, we can't do it. We can't do this because, you know, we've got other things to do. We've got other ministries to be involved with. And so therefore, our calling is to teach and pray and lead, not to do this distribution that this problem is evolving with. And so they call for diaconos. They establish roles. Different responsibilities and different roles. Serving was critical and important, and we know that with any church, with any congregation, with our ministries. Serving, that's what we're about. You know, serving is so critical, it's so important. But that role was to be set aside for others. They see the problem, the complaint, they address it, they look at it, they say, well, we can't do that because we're doing this. However, what we will do is we will call for servers, we'll call for diaconos, we'll call for people or brothers to come and take on these responsibilities. And so there you see the role. So when we think of deacons, we can think of them in that way within the church. Notice this, they set up a plan. Within the plan, they even set a number. Now, there's nothing specific, I don't believe, about the number at all. Some may say, well, you know, seven was a significant number in the Jewish setting and that kind of thing. But, you know, it could be that it was based upon the role, the work that needed doing. Maybe it needed called upon that amount of people to do it. But he says there that the 12 some of the multitude said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So that's them saying that this diakonos work needed is something that we can't do because we're already serving. We're already involved in roles within the church. Therefore, brethren, and we'll look at that, seek out from among yourselves seven men. And so that seven could just be that they have seen this, they've thought about it, thought this is the number we need, this is the volume of people required to make this happen. So it doesn't mean that if we get deacons here, we've got to go pick seven men, you know, because that's what it's saying, it's specific to the task. And so, you know, it was probably based on the work or the volume of work or whatever they had categorised in their plan. Well, what is interesting is this. They didn't say just pick any number. And I find that fascinating. When you think about it, what they've done is the deacons that they have called upon were specific for the volume of whatever was required. And so they didn't just say, go and get 20 deacons. There's more to it than that when you look at this role. They said choose seven. It doesn't mean, as I say, we've got to choose seven. The number was clearly right for the case, for the role, for the position, for what was being given, and there was something about that. So this group of seven was selected, okay? Well, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you. So that's the church. Therefore, congregation, brethren, seek out from among you, yourself, within here, not from another congregation or not from anywhere, from within the group. Seek out from among you seven men of good reputation. And so, unlike the elders who were selected by the preacher or the elders, we see here that there was a role with the church with reference to seeking out from amongst themselves. Of course, the church would have a say. If you was appointed, you were seeking out elders, you'd want to know that the church was aware of them elders and their responsibilities and role, abilities and that kind of thing. You know, people know each other better than others. But this group was to be selected by the congregation. These diakonos, these servers, in that way. Okay. Notice, yes?
I want to add only a little, because about number seven, why the Holy Spirit allowed them to choose the seven, that is very important, because that is the first time the program is starting from the early church.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit allowed them to choose seven. Because this seven is represent the whole all the generations, it, because that problem will be any church, there will be a problem, because this seven indicate that not only for the Jerusalem church, but all the church which will follow, maybe there will be a problem. As the same thing happened on Revelation chapter, I say to the seven churches. That seven don't represent only the seven churches in Asia, but it represent the whole churches of Christ through all the generations. That's why the Holy Spirit allowed them from the beginning to choose number seven. So that seven is very important.
The important thing is this, is to note that these people are given specific tasks, and that's what we're going to look at. There's no such thing as a random deacon. So you don't have five deacons and four of them have appointed roles and one of them is a floating deacon, and that deacon just floats around and says, what do you do? I'll do whatever they want me to do. You know, if there's anything to do, they'll let me know and I'll do it. It doesn't work. That is not how it works. With the role of deacons, there is an appointment. Of a responsibility, and we'll look at that, and we will come back to that on the seven as well, because I want to sort of clarify that. I want you to notice something here at the latter part of the passage there. And so it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, and look, Stephen, a man, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timothy, Perimenus, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. They were men. They were men. Peter was specific. He could have said, select among the congregation people. You know, seek out from among yourselves seven, and we see that that is what they've done. But again, we'll go into that in more detail when we come across some of the, I would say, controversy, but I would say there are things that people get confused with, and we need to clarify, and we will do that when we get to that part of the study. I want you to know, we must, with deacons, we must not just give the work to the deacons, and we're going to look at this in more detail, so this is more of an intro. The deacons take the responsibility, and I think quite often we can make a mistake and assume you just give the work to a deacon, give them the responsibility. Okay, we must give the responsibility over to them. When they were passing on these roles, they were passing on the responsibility. These men were men that was going to take on this responsibility, otherwise they may as well be looking at themselves anyway. And so they're passing on the responsibility. It doesn't mean that they're freelancers that do whatever they want. They come under the umbrella, as do all in the church, of the eldership, who oversees the spiritual being of the church and everything else. But with reference to the roles and tasks that they have, you don't just give the work to the deacon, you give them the responsibility. We'll look at that. If you give them the work, they are in charge of the responsibility that you've given them. It's very important. We need to note that the task was given specifically for the task. And so this we'll come into this. Not to be an assistant in everything. They're not assistants. You know, this idea that the deacon is an assistant of every single task that there is. That is not how it's written in Scripture. They're given a responsibility. They're given a specific role. And we'll understand that as we look at this, to deal with the said task. Deacons are not the elders' assistants. So when the elders have a meeting, the deacons don't show up and say, we're here. They're not the elders' assistants. They're not going to go around and do the elders' work. With reference to that, they're specifically, with reference to the roles that they have given, to deal with the said task. That is provided. Deacons are servants of the church. They assisted the church in carrying out, in this case, a particular task that was given, thus chosen from the brethren by the brethren. And so that's the importance of that. When you look at the reference, where it says choose from among yourselves, the church is choosing these with reference to that. And we'll go into the details too in our later studies on their background, what they need to be like. And that. Brother Lucky, yes.
Yeah, from our reading, I think there's something we need to learn. Yeah, we're not doing all the normals, everybody's in our midst. From the account of what we read, we found that the people distributing. The group that was working, even though you assigned a work for them, the group that was working, the group that was putting, the group that was sharing at that hour.
Yeah.
But the complaint is this, that there are two people around there, you have the Hebrew and you have the enemy. Those are those priests that speak Jews, that their widows are neglected. So that's not that people are not working.
No.
But they were sharing.
Yeah.
What happened is that there was a kind of partiality, a kind of tribalism.
Yeah.
Which must not be seen in the ministry of those. That's why they say they never get faithful men. And that's why those people then and come out, shout out and say, our widows are neglected. Now when the apostles have selected those people for a particular task to be done, this is an area we should not look into. Even when we are saying that coming to talk about the kings, elders and everything. We are not different in the eyes of the Lord.
No.
We are all one. No Gentiles, no Jews, no Arabs, no Igbo, no Hausa, no anything. No American, no Swedish, whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we should relate in one family. At least what I've been trying to balance for over many years. The way my family relates, because we have blood sisters and blood brothers, are quite unique. But the house of the Lord is not, like that. And that was the spirit the apostle tried to kill at that hour there. That they should be able to do things without saying that, oh, this is black, this is what, this is white.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, no, thank you for that, absolutely. And that will come into this, because what we're remembering is, and you're right, the deacons are not the only ones serving. The serving's been happening, it's already going on. This is about structure, this is about supporting that work and people taking on their responsibilities. Just like you said, with the backgrounds, there are different backgrounds here. You know, we see these different backgrounds within the study that is going on. And so therefore, the culture side of it was part of the issue that was going on here. You know, that the respect of the fact that there were people from different walks of life. You know, there were the Jews, so those who were Jewish converts. You see the conflict going on where there was kind of a feeling that one group was doing more for their own group than their group, and the imbalance and everything else. But when we, as we go through this study and we look at deacon, you will see the wisdom in it and also the benefit of it. Remember, we are coming to a study which is going to talk about the church. You will be surprised at our role together. Massive. The church is critical, the brethren. Listen, we're looking at elders, we're looking at deacons, we're looking at preachers. You wait till we get to the Christians. This is us. You can see the responsibility. You already see a responsibility here. Looking out for deacons amongst your own selves. And people to take on and help in supporting these roles. And so all of this is about the structure. All of this is about it. And it will make more sense as we go through the study. Because what you'll do is we'll go through scripture, we'll look at the backgrounds, we'll look at the even some of the debates that go on with reference to this, we can see the teaching that will sort of support everything that we are doing here. Okay, right, we'll stop there. Okay, and I've got these notes, so we will cover these things. We'll make sure that they are covered. I know from the study that I've done that these things will come in. Sister, yes?
Yeah, I want to understand things.
Yeah?